How to Read the Psalms. Commentary for the January 6, 2024 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? Psalm 137, verse 4. For several decades of my life, the church hymnal was ubiquitous in every church I attended. It did not matter what the denomination, all had their own denominationally approved book of hymns. While the hymn selection may have been filtered through the sieve of approved dogma, one thing they all had in common. There were great hymns in every one of them. As a musician, I like to collect sheet music and play tunes that may be older than I am, but that I have not heard before. To that end, I have collected some hymnals from other denominations, as well as my own, and have found treasures every time. One beautiful hymn found in most is Amazing Grace. The lyrics, penned by the former slave ship captain, John Newton, have been responsible for those who, like Newton, turn from the path of darkness to light. Another hymn that set others on the path of righteousness was Charlotte Elliott's Just As I Am, sung during the altar call, often by George Beverly Shea, at the conclusion of each Billy Graham crusade meeting. Music is a powerful means to convey a message. It is little wonder that one of the major books of the Bible is Psalms, a collection of lyrics that likely were set to music, as some of the marginal notations that survive suggest. Admittedly, there are a few sects of Christianity that eschew music altogether, but their numbers are few, and Psalms seems a powerful argument for the inspiration possible through music, and its importance for worship and personal devotions. While the Bible does not specifically say that Jesus liked to sing, at the Last Supper, we read they sang a hymn and went out. It seems unlikely that the 11 apostles that were present would sing, and Jesus would not sing praises with them. Whatever the case, the Gospels give us what we refer to as Mary's song and Zechariah's song. Both praised God, much as several of the Psalms have done. We also find in the New Testament epistles calls to sing hymns as part of Christian praxis. Paul encouraged both the Ephesians and the Colossians to sing hymns and spiritual songs. It appears that not only was the purpose of Psalms to glorify God through music, but it was also an integral part of the experience of the early church as well. It had much to do with the development of sheet music as a need developed for the ability to reproduce music in new locales where it had never been heard. A cathedral choir might develop a beautiful and inspiring Gregorian chant, but without the ability to write it down, it would be difficult to recreate exactly for another cathedral's choir, or even in the same parish after the choir master moved on or died. An example of early sheet music accompanies this commentary article. Those who can read music may recognize there is no key signature, the staff has four lines instead of five, and the notation itself is simpler than more modern forms. But the music echoing through the natural acoustics of a cathedral was ethereal. It caused me to wonder how the Psalms sounded in their day. While we may have the lyrics, no one I know has ever sung them in Hebrew in a Christian church, and we know even less about the acoustics where they were sung and what instruments may have accompanied the singing and how they were played. Could they only be played in a prescribed manner? Were the musicians or the singers allowed to improvise? We simply do not know. In my lifetime, I have seen religious music evolve. There was once a trend to feel that waltz music only belonged in the dance hall, so approved hymns would be in 4-4 time to avoid the 3-4 time of the waltz. This had a lot to do with churches at one time having marches instead of dances. 4-4 was righteous. 3-4 was not. I participated in some of those marches myself, directed by the conference Pathfinder director. Some find reason to be upset with a church hymnal that would include such pieces as Amazing Grace, Just As I Am, and Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, which despite the these and thous were obviously in a waltz meter. As time went on, though, these critics were seen to be like Saul's daughter Michal, who criticized David for dancing before the Ark of the Covenant. Despite such criticism, David went on to write several of the Psalms. It is the same nowadays. Despite criticism over meter or key, new and beautiful music of praise continues to be written and performed. I have sat in church board meetings where beautiful hymns of praise were reviled by those who should have known better because the music had a backbeat or was written in a minor key. Yet these same individuals loved hymns written in the formerly criticized waltz meter or were written in what are known as in the music industry as cowboy keys with open simple chording, which was also once seen as overly sentimental for church. Sadly, I've seen more people walk out of a church service over music they did not like than over a questionable sermon. Some people will cavil over the proper position for prayer, which Bible translation is the real Bible, and which diet God intends we should eat, what we should wear, and what holidays we should observe. It is not surprising that music would also be fraught with controversy. Contemporary Christian music is derided for being simple and repetitious. Some also look down upon it because it is often projected onto a screen hanging behind the pulpit so people can follow the lyrics in congregational singing. Some ask why this is when we have hymnals available. It is because such beautiful praises are being written and sung faster than we can print hymnals. And the hymnals themselves are no small cost for a congregation. If a hymnal costs $30, 200 would cost the church $6,000 each time a new update became available. Perhaps because of this cost, the current hymnal used in most Adventist churches that still use the hymnal was copyrighted by Review and Herald Publishing in 1989. That was over 30 years ago. It is also difficult to bind contemporary Christian music into a hymnal, as some pieces go on for as many as 8 to 10 pages of sheet music. This is easily accommodated on a screen up front at church, but not so with a hymnal. I struggle with moving the pages around when I'm playing the piano, but this is not a new problem. Consider Psalm 119, which runs on for 176 verses. Therefore, nothing in the Bible indicates that music should not exceed a certain length. As we progress through this quarter's study of the Psalms, I would like to invite each of you to listen to contemporary praises that I'm including links to in the written version of this podcast. Perhaps when we hear such contemporary praises, we can tap into what it may have been like for the Jews over 2.5 millennia ago to enjoy the contemporary music of their day, the Psalms. The Psalms reveal how they viewed the character of God. Our Christian music today reveals the same about us. What differences and what similarities do you see between the two eras? The songs that I've included links to are for Phil Wickham's Hymn of Heaven, Amy Grant's Better Than a Hallelujah, Casting Crowns, Does Anybody Hear Her?, and Toby Mac, City on Our Knees. You can look these up on YouTube if you don't have the ability to visit our website and click on the links in the written version of this commentary. Sometimes we develop such a narrow view of God and His character that it becomes impossible to see Him working beyond the walls of our church or denomination. Sometimes it even prevents us from seeing the Spirit speaking to the life of the person sitting next to us. It is as though we think we are the only one on the right track, as Elijah thought, even after bringing down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel. He forgot all those, like the widow of Zarephath, who fed him, and faithful Obadiah, who hid and fed the prophets. As we study the Psalms, may we find a way to open our hearts again to broader possibilities for God's work in this world than we have known before. May we find a way to be motivated by love and not cloistered in fear behind the walls of our church. May the new year we are beginning also bring us to a new understanding of our faith and its place in the world we live in. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds of other podcasts and commentaries at that website, as well as a link to other books written by the author. Once again, that website is www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.